Welcome to Shir Ramban, Parshas Vayishlach. One of the issues that many Mefarshim deal with, but in particular the Ramban, is the question of the morality involved, the legality involved by the massacre of Shechem that takes place through Shimon and Levi. You know, what exactly gives them the right? Do they have the right to go and to annihilate an entire town? It seems beyond that they sort of tricked them into a situation where they would be vulnerable and then took everybody out. Was it right? I mean, we find that Yaakov certainly is critical of Shimon and Levi for doing what they did. On the other hand, Yaakov's criticism of Shimon and Levi seems to be much less fundamental and much more practical. You know, you've made life difficult for me, Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi. In other words, it seems like the implication is, per se, what you did wasn't wrong, but it just wasn't smart. Not everything that's right is necessarily the smart thing to do. But it doesn't sound like Yaakov is necessarily criticizing them on a fundamental level. So one of the Ramban's comments, these extensive comments on this issue, are some of the most fundamental comments on this issue, where he brings the Rambam, disagrees with the Rambam, and gets involved in a lot of very, very basic points. So I wanted to try to go through that and bring out, you know, some of the points that he speaks about. So the Ramban is found in Perek Lamed Daled, Pasuk Yud Gimel, where the Shechem and Chamor really, go to the Bnei Yaakov, and they make this proposal. You know, that they'd like to enable Dina to marry Shechem after she had been taken advantage of. So the pasuk says, "Vayanu b'nei Yaakov v'Shechem yeschamar aviv b'mirma v'yidaberu." The b'nei Yaakov answered Shechem and his father Chamor b'mirma with cunning. So that word with cunning is something that Ramban is going to speak about. He says as follows: "Hinei Chamor v'Shechem el avia v'el acheha dibru." It's noteworthy that when Shechem speaks to the Bnei Yaakov, it says that he spoke, Pasuk Yud Aleph, El Aviha, to Dina's father, i.e. Yaakov, Yel Achera, and to Dina's brothers, in other words, all of the Shvatim. And yet, Yaakov Avinu, although he's clearly there, right, the Pasuk describes him as being the recipient of the remarks of Shechem, Yaakov Avinu says nothing. It's the brothers who respond instead of Yaakov Avinu. Why is that? So, Hazakin La'ana Osam Dabar. The old man, Yaakov Avinu, did not respond at all, even though he was being addressed. Kibarav Yudavu v'mekom v'inyan azel l'chvodo. Kibavur ayos hadavar lahem l'klon, lo yirtsush yivtach piv l'daber bo klau. Ramban makes a very interesting observation. You know, earlier in Chumash, when Eliezer comes to the house of Bethuel to seek a wife for Yitzchak, to seek Rivka, so he speaks to Bethuel and Lavan, and the pasuk describes how Lavan and Bethuel answered, Lavan before Bethuel, and Rashi tells us that that's negative, you know, in other words, the fact that Lavan opened up his mouth before Bethuel said anything is not a point in Lavan's favor. It shows that he was disrespectful. Here, the same thing seems to happen, even worse. You know, Yaakov doesn't say anything, and the Bnei Yaakov answer in his stead, it would seem to be incredibly disrespectful. So the Ramban, interestingly, says, no, it's exactly the opposite. The sons didn't want Yaakov to have to even deal with this issue. It's so distressing to Yaakov. My daughter was raped. Now, you know, this person wants to, this person who raped her wants to marry her, and I'm going to get involved in discussions. I just don't want to be involved in the whole thing. And the Bnei Yaakov sensed that, and out of honor for their father, they basically, you know, in some subtle way signaled to him, Dad, just stand on the side, we'll deal with this, right? So in other words, the Ramban starts off by saying the sidestepping of Yaakov over here should not be seen as disrespect to Yaakov, but actually as a sign of respect to Yaakov. It's beneath you to have to deal with this in a direct fashion. V'yesh kan she'ela. But still we have the following question. Shadava nira ki b'ritzon avi ovat soso anu ki lefonofoyu. when the children of Yaakov answer Shechem, and they say, look, we'll make you a deal. If you guys circumcised yourselves, we'll give you Dina. It sounds like they're doing so with Yaakov's acquiescence. Why does it sound like that? Because Yaakov's there. Now, granted, Yaakov doesn't say anything, but the way the Ramban is understanding, Yaakov's silence is not disagreement or anything like that. Yaakov's silence is just, it's not past, it's not appropriate for somebody of that stature to get involved in this haggling after Dina was raped. But, you know, the plan seems to have at least met with Yaakov's tacit approval, because he doesn't say anything. He's standing right there. And it would also seem to be the case that Yaakov realized from the get-go that the brothers were never going to consent to have Dina marry Shechem. In other words, what did Yaakov think? Yaakov's standing there, and the sons on his behalf say, look, you guys want to marry Dina, you've got to circumcise everybody in the city. So what's Yaakov thinking? Is Yaakov thinking, oh yeah, and then if Shechem gets a bris, Dina will marry him? Seems hard to imagine. We know that the whole family of Avraham Avinu, they were so careful not to marry into the local population. That's why Yaakov Avinu went away to Haran to begin with. You know, so does he really think that Dina's going to marry Shechem after they have the bris? Doesn't sound like it. So probably he appreciates that the sons are up to something. So if he appreciates that the sons are up to something, ask the Ramban, Lama Kos. So why does he get angry at Shimon and Levi after the whole incident is over, after they've gone through and attacked all of Shechem? Yaakov, you knew something was going on. You knew that there was some kind of plan over here. Why were you angry?
You know that he's going to feed all of Shechem.
Oh, so let's keep going. V'od it's impossible to imagine that Yaakov would have consented to let a Kna'ani, this Canaanite man who had raped his daughter, become his son-in-law. Granted, it was easier to buy chasen shas back then because it was all baal peh. You know, you didn't have to put much money down. Okay, but even with that, I don't think he would have. I don't think he would have acquiesced. It's also strange. It's true that Shimon and Levi are the ones who actually carry out this attack against Shechem, but all the brothers were in on it, because all the brothers are described as proposing to the people of Shechem that they should get circumcised. So everybody's part of the plot. So why is it that Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, curses Shimon and Levi? He should have cursed all the sons, because all of the sons were involved in this plan in some way or another. That shuva, the answer is, he writes, Ki amirma haisa ba'amram lihimalohem kol zachar. What was the cunning, what was the trickery, or the cleverness that the Bnei Yaakov engaged in? Their cleverness was to demand that the entire city would get circumcised. Because what they were figuring was that the people will never agree to do that. In other words, they were making a demand. You know how it is. Sometimes you're in negotiations with somebody. You want the answer to be no, but you don't want to be the one saying no. So, you know, you negotiate something, you know, you put forward a proposal, you know, that you know that they're not going to be able to accept. So, okay, this will be a way of ending the discussion. So that's the mirma. In other words, the Bnei Yaakov said to the people, to Shechem, you know what? You can have our sister if you just arrange for everyone in the entire town to get a bris. And they look over, they wink at Yaakov, and, you know, the unspoken, you know, word goes between them. Yeah, and we all know they'll never agree to that. You know, so, like, we'll just wrap this up. We'll take Dina back, and, you know, we'll lend things over there. V'mulai yishmul v'yishmulin v'yu kulam nimolim yavo v'yom ashlish v'yosom kolavim v'yikhu esbita mibeis Shechem. And what happens, the brothers thought, in the unusual circumstance that they'll actually say yes? So here's our plan. On the third day, when they're recovering from the bris and they're all helpless, we'll go into Shechem, and what we'll do, we'll grab Dina and we'll run out of there. That was the plan.
And why wouldn't they afraid? If they had a Muna and they know they were going to hold the right thing, I mean, don't you see Abraham fighting the kings? I mean, he goes against all crazy odds just to get back Lot, and no one takes into account, well, they have 4,220 and I only have 27.
Right.
Now, if I can reduce it 50 of them, I feel more comfortable. You don't see this computation, this thought process happening at all. Why all of a sudden are they planning that far ahead?
Right.
It looks like they lost their faith, or they, you know.
So it's an interesting question. Why didn't they just, you know, rely? In other words, when Shechem comes and says, "I want to marry your sister and daughter Dina," right? Why don't they just say, "No, absolutely not. We're taking her and we're going," right? Apparently, they felt they were afraid. They didn't think that they could pull off what Avraham Avinu was able to pull off. Avraham Avinu went to war. Yeah, you're right, but I don't know that everyone can assume that it's going to work out as beautifully as it worked out for Avraham Avinu. He had no choice. In other words, I guess the Bnei Yaakov figured, look, if we can use like this subtle diplomacy and get ourselves out of this situation, that would be better. Why fight a war if we can use diplomacy? Maybe that was their position. So the Ramban suggests that the original plan, what Yaakov understood was the plan, and perhaps what the other brothers had in mind as the plan behind Shimon and Levi, was the following. They probably won't get a bris. And if for some crazy reason they actually do agree to get a bris, that will weaken them enough, so then we can grab Dina and we can go. In other words, the original plan was not massacre the city. The original plan was weaken them so we can get Dina out of there. The Zos Atsas Kol Ha'achim of Rishus Aviyam. That's what the brothers, besides Shimon and Levi, wanted to do. That's what Yaakov Avinu agreed to do. Shimon and Levi took the original plan and they went the extra mile. They said, you know what? Not only are we going to grab Dina and leave, but we're going to punish the people of the city for what they did. And it's to that part of the plan that Yaakov Avinu was not aware, and to that part of the plan that he objected. He said, whoa, 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 that wasn't the plan. The plan was just get her and go, you know, not to destroy the entire city in the process. Or, an alternative pshat, says the Ramban, this is what Aaron has suggested before, Yaakov Avinu would have been fine had the brothers gone in and killed Shechem. Now, you're the perpetrator. Right, so we get it. In other words, knock out, you know, have the city circumcise themselves, have them become weak so they can't defend themselves and they can't fight back. Then you want to go in, take back Dina and kill Shechem for what he did. Yaakov Avinu says, for that you have my blessing. But to kill everybody, you know, that where'd you come from? You know, where'd you come up doing that?
Doesn't Yaakov Avinu understand the minute that the third day they healed, the Middle East revenge of Putin? Did he all of a sudden think that they would be forgiven or forgotten and no one would ever pursue them?
That's a good point. Right. The Middle East hasn't changed that much,
no,
right?
I mean, you kill them while they're down. I mean, it's not the nicest, but do you want to get killed?
Right.
You even walk away and do what you have to.
Right, right. I hear that. I hear. In other words, it was a very practical consideration.
Yeah.
But the Ramban is really having two pshatim. Again, just what's going on over here. In the Ramban, says Yaakov Avinu's thought was definitely, let's just go back and take back Dina. And maybe, says the Ramban, minimally they would have killed Shechem for what he did. I guess maybe the Ramban is thinking, look, maybe the townspeople themselves, you know, you have a town that's being led by this, you know, guy who has no compulsions, just, you know, sleeping with a random girl that he comes across. Maybe the townspeople, you know, would have given the brothers the Yishakayach, you know, for taking out Shechem. You know, thanks a lot. Maybe he and his father weren't such wonderful leaders, you know, if you think about it. But I hear the point. Again, the Ramban suggests that, you know, maybe minimally they could have killed Shechem for what he did, but the notion of wiping out the whole town, that says the Ramban, that's overkill. Literally, I guess, overkill, right?
How would Dina find the Shidduch?
Yeah, whatever. They would have worked out a resume a little bit and fixed it up, so it would have worked out. Yeah.
You haven't said anything about. I realized that she Dina went out. You know, maybe that's a factor also. You have to hope. He's not totally blameless because he let her go strolling.
Right, so again, you are referencing a Rashi who references Chazal, Teisei Dina, that Dina was a little bit more out there in the open than she should have been. At the same time, though, again, I think we have to be careful not to fall into the trap, which, you know, is discussed in the today's society on a regular basis. You know, don't blame the victim. In other words, you know, you're right. Perhaps it was not wise for the woman in a particular scenario to walk down that dark alley at some time in the middle of the night. You're right, it wasn't wise. But at the same time, not being wise doesn't mean that, you know, quote unquote, she deserved what she got, you know, by doing that sort of thing. It's just very, very important to. No, that's true, right. But again, the point is, Rashi brings, it was inappropriate for her to go out in that fashion. At the same time, again, clearly Shechem did something wrong. You know, Shechem is the aggressor over here, even if Dina was not as careful as she should have been, you know, in going out in that fashion.
One other thing, you know, yeah. We can always say, in Rukhtam, the book of the Torah, we're not told exactly why, but if there's any continuity in this parsha, these Bnei Yaakov are not very old.
Right, no, they're not very old at all. I mean, Chazal tell us Levi was 13. Levi was 13.
So,
right.
So that's,
right, you know, but, you know, when I was younger, I would have said, you know, how could it be that two teenagers could go on a rampage and kill multiple people? Unfortunately, you know, we live in a day and age where that doesn't shock us anymore, you know, to have two teenagers, you know, go and kill multiple people. Just pointing this out. Okay. The Rabbim Yishalu. So now that we've established sort of what the original plan was and how Shimon and Levi took that original plan and went a step or many steps beyond that, many ask the following question. The Eich Asu B'nai Yaakov HaTzadikim HaMaisa HaZeh Lishpoch Dam Noki. How could it be that Shimon and Levi, who were Tzadikim, engaged in this act to spill innocent blood? Again, you want to kill Shechem, he's the perpetrator, fine, right? But what did the whole town do? The Harav Heshiv B'Sefer Shoftim, the Rav, and by this the Rambam means the Rambam writes in Sefer Shoftim, which is in Hilchus Melachim, Perek Yedal, and Halacha Tests, right, in his Yad HaChazaka, the Rambam writes, Shebnei Noach Mitzuvim Al Adinim. We know that one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, one of the seven Mitzvahs that Noahites have, is to observe dinim, right? What is dinim? Laws, civil law. So that means v'hu la'oshiv dayanim b'chol plach u'plach ladun b'sheish mitzvot shelohem. The mitzvah of dinim is that the non-Jewish nations have an obligation to set up a judicial system, a localized judicial system to implement the other six mitzvahs B'nei Noach. Ben Noach she'avar alachas mehenu nerag b'sayif, and the halacha is that if a Ben Noach violates any of the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, he's subject to the capital punishment. Ro echad she'avar alachas mehen v'lo donu lahargo, are zeh ro'eh yehareg b'sayif. And by the same token, if the society is not going to judge people who violate the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach, they themselves then are in violation of the mitzvah of dinim, because dinim means judge those who violate the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, and violating dinim is in itself cause for capital punishment. So writes the Rambam. So Shimon and Levi were justified halachically in wiping out the entire city of Shechem for the following reason. Shechem had stolen, I mean, again, essentially, you know, taking a woman against her will and raping her is a form of theft. You know, it represents the violation of that, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, which is Gezel, which is thievery. So Shechem is guilty of that. And all of the inhabitants of Shechem should have judged him for his crime. They did not. So ergo, you know, all of the inhabitants of Shechem, by definition, are in violation of that mitzvah of dinim, which they have. And therefore, they all are also are now culpable for the death sentence, for having not carried out the death sentence against Shechem.
When was the
Sheva
Mitzvahs B'nei Noach? When was that established even
before Matan Torah? Noach. That's why Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. In other words, when Noach comes out of it, really, to be honest, really Adam Arishon. In other words, Chazal understand that Adam Arishon was given these mitzvahs, but they're called Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, A, because they're reiterated right after the Mabul, B, because when Adam got the mitzvahs, they were only six, because Eiver Min Achai wasn't applicable to Adam because he didn't eat meat. So Eiver Min Achai, you know, to not eat something torn from a living animal, that was given to Noach specifically.
There's no need for
Hashra, anything like that. In other words, you know, you violate it, that's it.
In today's generation, this wouldn't be able to happen.
Right.
The woman, yeah, also soldiers today.
Okay. I hear. So that's the Rambam. So the Rambam writes this in Hilchos Malachim to try to justify the what Shimon and Levi did. Ve'ein dvar halal nechonim be'einai. So says the Ramban, I don't think this is correct. But, you know, we're going to see the Ramban disagrees with the Rambam on multiple levels, so there are a number of different points of contention which are going to be fleshed out over here in this machlokas between the Ramban and the Rambam. Number one, I don't think this is correct. If you're really telling me that Shimon and Levi had an obligation to kill the inhabitants of Shechem because the inhabitants of Shechem had failed to fulfill the mitzvah of Dinim, so then not only did Shimon and Levi have that obligation, but Yaakov Avinu had that obligation. So Yaakov Avinu should have gone himself and, you know, attacked all the members of the city of Shechem. Vim pachad mehem. Okay, so you'll tell me Yaakov Avinu said, okay, it's the right thing to do, but it's not feasible. Right, he's afraid of them. So then, Loma Klas Albano v'Ora Pom Achar Kamus Manim v'Onash Hosav v'Chilkam v'Efitzom v'Lohim Zachu v'Asu Mitzvah Batchu be'Elokim v'Tzilam. So why is Yaakov Avinu then mad at Shimon and Levi? In other words, you can tell me, look, Yaakov Avinu doesn't feel that it was the right thing to do, or that he was afraid. I'm sorry, that Yaakov Avinu didn't feel that it was the prudent thing to do, that he was afraid of doing it. But Lemaisa, Shimon and Levi, according to the Rambam, carried out what the halacha demands. So, you know, not only does Yaakov Avinu tell them at the end of the story, you know, that wasn't the smartest thing, now everyone's going to come and attack us, that maybe we could understand, but at the end of his life, Yaakov says to Shimon and Levi, you're cursed because of your anger. I will scatter you among Klal Yisrael. So if they were really right, it's just that it wasn't prudent for them to do that, why did he curse them? I mean, if anything, they did what was the right thing, which was, according to the Rambam, which just Yaakov Avinu was afraid of doing. But, you know, he shouldn't hold them accountable for it. So that's a question. So in light of that question, also says the Ramban, I have a different understanding of dinim than does the Rambam. The Aldaiti, according to my understanding, Hadinim Shemanu Livnei Noach B'Sheva Mitzvot Shelohem Einam Lahoshiv Dayan B'Chol Plachu Plach B'Levad. Here becomes a subtle point. Says the Ramban, I agree with the Rambam that the mitzvah of dinim for B'nei Noach includes the concept of appointing judges on a regional basis, but where I disagree with the Rambam is I don't think it's limited to that. I believe the definition of dinim is much broader than the way the Rambam would understand it. Now, I don't think this point is directly relevant to the issue of what happened in Shechem, but it's an interesting point to bring out in terms of another related machlokas with the Rambam and the Ramban about what exactly the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach mean. What does dinim mean? The Rambam says it means to appoint judges. Says the Ramban, I agree it means to appoint judges, but it doesn't only mean to appoint judges. Aval tziva osam b'dine gneva v'onah v'oshek uschar sachir b'dine hashomrim v'ones v'mufater v'avos nezikim v'chovo v'chaveiro b'dine malve v'lova b'dine mekach u'memkar v'chayotz de'bohen ki'inyon hadinim shenitztavu Yisrael. So, says the Ramban, my understanding is that dinim applies to all of the laws which, in a Jewish context, we would refer to as choshen mishpat. In other words, all judicial and civil laws that include things like burglary, taking advantage of somebody in business, withholding a laborer's wages, the laws of depositing something with somebody to watch, the laws that pertain when seducing a woman, the laws of damages, whether damaging property or damaging somebody's person, the laws of lending money, the laws of business, everything ki'inyan hadinin shenitztavu Yisrael, in the same manner that the Jewish people are commanded in these mitzvos, in other words, the three big volumes of Choshen Mishpah that are part of Shulchan Aruch, says the Ramban, those dinim apply to non-Jews as well, that to Bnei Noach, and that's what the mitzvah of dinim is all about. It's not just judges; it also includes all of these halachos. Bnei Agaleim im Gonav veOshak Onas uMafata biUfito Bito Shochavero Oshehidlok Yedesho veChaval veChayot Seibohen, and therefore if you know, Ben Noach violates any of these aspects of civil law, he has to be punished. Ubichlau hamitzvah hazos shioshivu dayanim gam b'chol ir v'ir k'Yisrael. An additional part of this is to set up a judicial system, right? However, imlo also came. Here's another point where I disagree with the Rambam. Says the Rambam, when it comes to setting up a judicial system, if non-Jews fail to set up a judicial system, or if they fail to judge, eino neherogim, that's not a capital crime. Why? Shizo mitzvah aseh bohem. Because that's not a negative mitzvah, mitzvah lo saseh, it's a mitzvah aseh, it's a positive mitzvah. And the sheva mitzvahs b'nei Noach are formulated as mitzvah lo saseh, the capital punishment that attaches itself to sheva mitzvah b'nei Noach is specifically for the negative mitzvahs. V'lo amru el azhar lahem zoi misasam, right? But a positive mitzvah, which, you know, to do something, not to refrain from doing something, but to do something which is a mitzvah, wouldn't carry with it the death penalty. So in other words, while it's true that I agree with the Rambam that that the mitzvah of dinim involves setting up a court system, a judicial system, that can't be the grounds on which Shechem was annihilated, because even if the members of Shechem failed in that mitzvah of dinim, that's a mitzvah saseh, a positive mitzvah, not a mitzvah lo saseh, and that wouldn't carry with it the death penalty. One, besides the direct correlation to the question as to whether dinim is enough to justify the destruction of Shechem, there's another very, very important point in this Ramban. The Ramban seems to be saying that the laws of Choshen Mishpat, either in their entirety or pretty much in their entirety, apply to a non-Jew much the same way that they apply to a Jew. Again, there are going to be differences. We know Halacha has differences between Jews and non-Jews in terms of what constitutes a kinyan, how do you acquire something. There are subtle differences, but in the main, you know, these laws apply to non-Jews the same way to what they apply to Jews, right? And that's not a totally obvious thing. The Ramban says it explicitly. Within the Rambam, one could argue back and forth. Within the Rambam, one could say that whereas Gezel, thievery, is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, but all of these details, lending money, withholding wages, you know, depositing something with somebody, you know, all of Bava Kama, Bava Messiah, Bava Basra, wouldn't necessarily apply to a non-Jew, to a Ben Noach, the same way that it does to a Jew. The Rambam may or may not hold that way, but it's pretty clear that the Ramban does hold that way, that Choshen Mishpat, more or less, you know, applies to a non-Jew the same way it applies to a Jew. Okay, we will What's that? No, Ribbis is in Yaradeya, so that works that well. But right, so there are going to be some differences, but overwhelmingly, the dinim of Mafkid and Nifkad and all those things are going to apply to non-Jews, the same way that they apply to Jews as well. I'm sorry?
When could a Jew say he's the judge of this, therefore he can inflict judgment? He can inflict.
Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, that question we'll pick up after Ma'ariv when we see the continuation of this Ramban. We'll talk about the answer to that and to other questions. A lot here to discuss. Hopefully we'll try to get through a substantial portion of it, once we're done with Ma'ariv. Okay, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer Ratzo. Okay, welcome to the second half of the Shir Ramban, Parshas Vayishlach. The Ramban was going through how to understand the thought process of Yaakov Avinu when it came to the negotiations that his sons have with Shechem and with Hamor, trying to understand the justification for Shimon and Levi basically taking out the entire city of Shechem. He quotes the Rambam. The Rambam says that the people of Shechem were guilty because of their failure to observe the mitzvah of dinim, namely the according to the Rambam, the notion that Bnei Noach have to set up a judicial system and to judge those who are guilty. And from the Rambam's, the Rambam says, so all the people of Shechem were essentially guilty of having violated dinim because they saw Shechem do what he did and nobody stood up to him in any way. The Rambam disagrees. He says, first of all, if that's the case, Yaakov Avinu should have taken the lead in annihilating the people of Shechem, because now there's an obligation to carry out this mitzvah of dinim. Beyond that, says the Ramban, in his understanding, the mitzvah of dinim is primarily not about setting up judges, and to the extent to which it is about setting up judges, that's only a mitzvah saseh, it's a positive mitzvah, and the people wouldn't be held liable for the death penalty for failing to carry out a mitzvah saseh. But primarily, according to the Ramban, dinim is about carrying out all of the other laws in Choshen Mishpat that go beyond just theft, laws between neighbors, laws involved in lending money, laws involved in depositing something with somebody else, laws involved in damaging somebody, the laws involved in damaging property. All of those dinim are really what dinim is all about, and only really secondarily about setting up a court system. So you need a Beis Din for what?
You can't designate a person to become a
zealot. Oh, so let's focus on that for a moment. Umayi vakish bohen harav chiyuv, right? Beyond this, I can't understand, says the Ramban, how the Rambam can say that the people of Shechem are guilty for having violated dinim because they failed to judge Shechem. V'chi anshei Shechem v'chol shiva amrim lo'ovdei avodah zarah u'megalei arayos v'osin kol to'evos Hashem hayu? Why are you picking on the fact that they failed to judge Shechem, says the Rambam? All of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, as the Torah says many, many times, all the Canaanites, inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, basically violated all the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach left and right. They violated idolatry, they violated murder, they violated Gilui Arayos, they were involved in all kinds of sexual immorality. Hakosam Soveach Aleihem B'Kama Mekomos. The Torah, in many places, talks about the original inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. They set up Avodah Zarah, they set up idolatry all over the place in Eretz Yisrael. Uvigili Arayus Kes Kolatoevos Hoel Osu, right? And when it comes to Gili Arayus as well, when it comes to sexual immorality, the Torah says, don't do what all the people in Canaan, did on a regular basis. So in other words, what are you focusing on the fact that they violated dinim, that they didn't set up a judicial system? They violated everything, So if you're already going to say that, since they violated everything, so now, Yaakov and his sons had the right to go in and punish them for their violations, so they violated many other things as well, so they should have the right to really judge them, not just the people of Shechem, they should have the right to judge all the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael for what they did. right? So how do you, so in light of that, how do you explain, says the Ramban, the events of Shimon and Levi and Shechem? So he writes the following. Aval inyan Shechem, the way to understand what happened in Shechem is the following. Ki b'nei Yaakov, ba'avur shahayu anshei Shechem rishoyim. You should know that the members of Shechem were Rishayim already. They were already evil people. Why were they evil people? Because like the rest of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael, they had violated multiple times, Avodah Gzarah, Shvichas Damim, Gili Arayos, they violated all these other prohibitions of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. And therefore, Damam Chashuv Lohem Kemayim. Their blood was like water. In what sense was their blood like water? So we'll see in just a moment. And that's why the children of Yaakov saw fit to take vengeance against the people of Shechem, because in any case their blood was considered to be like water. What's that expression over here? That's a very important expression, which the Ramban writes very, very briefly, but the commentators on the Ramban expand what's going on in the Ramban, and they explain as follows. You know, the Ramban started off his comments by writing that how could it be that Shimon and Levi spilled dam naki, that they spilled innocent blood in going into Shechem and taking everybody out. So his use of the phrase damam kemayim, their blood was like water, is to respond to the question that he raised. Their blood wasn't so innocent, right? Their blood rather was considered to be like water. In what sense? So the Mefarshim on the Ramban explained as follows. There's a concept in Halacha that once a person is judged by a Beis Din and sentenced to capital punishment, he's considered to be what the Halacha considers a Gavra Ketila, a person who has already been killed. In other words, once the sentence has been pronounced on that person, the Beis Din, you know, judges that this person is liable to capital punishment, that person is as if he's dead already. And if someone were to go, a vigilante were to go and kill that person before the Beis Din has the opportunity to execute him, that person wouldn't be held liable for having killed someone, because in a sense that person is deemed dead the minute the Psak Din, the minute the decision is made by the Beis Din. When it comes to Bnei Noach, the Ramban is saying, we go one step further, and the concept by Bnei Noach is that the minute the Bnei Noach commits the crime, he already has that status as a Gavra Ketila, as someone who is for all intents and purposes dead, and just waiting for the Beis Din to execute him, even though a trial hasn't taken place yet. The crime itself labels the person as being subject to the death penalty, even pre-trial. As such, says the Ramban, so the Bnei Yaakov knew exactly who they were dealing with in Shechem. The people of Shechem, he says, from top to bottom, were Rishayim. They were wicked people. They had violated Avodah Zarah, Gili Arayos, Shvichas Damim, all the things we're talking about before. So that alone made them subject to the death penalty, not that anyone had to carry that out in a judicial sense, not that Yaakov and his sons were stepping in to be judges on what had happened, but they simply they assumed the status of Gavra Ketila, of people who for all intents and purposes halachically were considered to be as if, you know, they were dead already. So that doesn't mean that anyone has to go and kill them, but it does mean, says the Ramban, that when Yaakov's sons go in and they say, look, you know, they did something terrible to our sister, you know, they deserve to be punished, or at least Shechem deserves to be punished, halachically they have the right to take out not only Shechem, but everyone in the town, because they all have that status of Gavra Ketila. So that's the perspective, says the Ramban, of Shimon and Levi. What about Yaakov Avinu? So he continues, but wait a minute. Okay, maybe they were Rishayim, but we had a deal, right? In other words, we made a deal. We said that if you circumcise yourselves, we'll enter into a covenant, we'll enter into a pact. So what? You don't honor your word? So says the Ramban, no. Shimon and Levi said to themselves, they entered into this pact, but they weren't really serious about it. They did so because of the fact that there was pressure. They just wanted to make Shem feel good. You know, that was the whole thing. So we know they're not. The pact isn't significant. The Yaakov, Omar Lohem Bekan, Ki Avihu B'Sakon. Yaakov acknowledges that in theory Shimon and Levi had the right to kill the inhabitants of Shechem. He doesn't argue with the theory, but he says, but you know, on a practical level, you put all of us in danger, because he said, "Shenemar Achartem Osi Lavi Sheni." V'nesu alai v'ikuni, the surrounding nations are going to come and attack us. V'sham arar apam ki asu chamas la'anshei ho'ir sh'amru lahem b'ma'amado v'yoshavnu itchem v'hayinu la'am echad v'heim hayu bochrim bohem u'ba'atu b'diburam v'ulai yoshuvu el Hashem v'hargu osam chinam ki lohereu lahem klal. Remember, Rabban adds something interesting. He says, in the moment, Yaakov Avinu says to Shimon and Levi, maybe you had the right to kill them, but it was a stupid thing to do. Right? It was something that put all of us into danger. In other words, his objection in the moment is a practical objection. But says the Rabban, at the end of his life, when Yaakov Avinu is considering what happened, his objection to what Shimon and Levi did becomes more of a fundamental objection, not merely a practical objection, and that's why he curses them. In other words, had the objection merely been a practical objection, you know, that wasn't the smartest thing to do, he wouldn't have said on his deathbed, "Arur apam," you know, "your anger is to be cursed because of what you did." You know, that would have been an overreaction for a practical mistake. But Yaakov Avinu says to the brothers, you know, what you did wasn't right. Morally, it wasn't right. Not that the people didn't deserve to die. But, you know, in strict halachic terms, you're right. But A, you gave your word. You gave your word. You know, you said, Yoshavnu itchem v'ayinu la'am echad. You know, you said, if you circumcise yourself, so then we'll make a pact between us. So you give your word, and then you renege on your word. You know, even if you say in a pure halachic sense, the people were deserving of death, Mela, okay, but you gave your word to them, so that has to mean something. And then the Ramban then adds, "V'ulai yoshuvu el Hashem," and you never know. Maybe, you know, your understanding of their circumcising themselves is that they're not sincere and they're really just doing it to make Shem feel good. How do you know? Maybe their circumcision is actually the beginning of a process of returning to Hashem and, you know, getting rid of that life of evil which the people of Shem had led previously. You're right, they had done terrible things in the past. But maybe this is tshuva. Why are you rejecting the tshuva? Why are you killing people who look like they're on a path to coming back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's already not just a pragmatic objection, you know, to what Shimon and Levi did. That's on a certain level a moral ethical objection, a fundamental objection, you know, to what they did. You took people who were groping towards doing the right thing, and you literally, you cut them down, you know. Who knows, maybe their circumcision would have been the beginning of something that would have blossomed into a greater connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.
Weren't the people of Shechem quietly saying to each other, let's get together with these people and we'll become one family, and then we'll kill them and take all of their property?
Oh, okay, so hold that thought. V'zeu sha'amar klei chamas mecheiroseyem. Right? When Yaakov Avinu speaks to Shimon and Levi at the end of his life, he says that your weapons are weapons of chamas. Chamas can be translated as violence. Chamas can also be translated as thievery, meaning you stole something from the people of Shechem. You were dishonest with them. You stole, and you know, you promised something to them, and then you stole this opportunity away from them. And all of that is not just an act of violence, but it's an act of thievery, and it's an act of deception which you engaged in, and there's something wrong with that act of deception, which you know, the manner in which you dealt with them. Then the Ramban addresses something that David raised a minute ago. V'imna'amin v'sefer mochamos b'nei Yaakov. If we are to believe the book called The Wars of Bnei Yaakov, which is often referred to as well as the Sefer HaYashar. Sefer HaYashar is a
sort of a collection of different stories in Midrashim surrounding the lives of the Avos. If we believe that, and this is interesting where the Ramban puts it, you know, maybe we believe that Sefer, maybe we don't, you know, in other words, but if we accept it, right after the story with Shechem, the Sefer Yashar tells us, so the neighbors of Shechem waged three great battles against the Bnei Yaakov. Had it not been for the fact that Yaakov Avinu himself fought back against these neighbors of Shechem, so they would have been in tremendous, tremendous danger. Kasha Yisapri Basefer Ahu, as Sefer Yasha describes. Rabbeinu Hizkiru Mizeh Pasuk Kasha Lakachtim Yad HaEmor Ruchari V'Kashti. Chazal make mention of this idea that there are wars that are taking place between the Bnei Yaakov and the neighbors of Shechem after the destruction of Shechem. They're not mentioned explicitly in the Chumash, but the Chumash makes reference to them obliquely later on. Yaakov Avinu says, "Asher lakachtim yad ha'emori v'charbi uvikashti," with my sword and with my bow, I fought back against the Emori. Aval akosuv yikatzer bozeh ki hayo nes nistar. The reason the pasuk doesn't speak about this is once again because it was a hidden miracle. It was a miracle that was carried out not in a supernatural way, but the fact that Yaakov and a small army, just him and his sons, were able to fend off all of these neighboring towns. It's miraculous, but not in a supernatural way. But we find in general, says the Ramban, that when it comes to a nes nistar, to a miracle which is natural but not supernatural in nature, the Torah speaks about it somewhat obliquely and doesn't go into it. And he references what we had learned before, the whole story with Avraham Avinu and the furnace of the Kasdim, the Ur Kasdim, is also not mentioned in the Chumash because of the fact that he understands, you know, it could be interpreted as a nes nistar. It's a pretty big nes nistar, but it can be interpreted as a nes nistar as opposed to something that is explicit, you know, explicitly a supernatural act. Again, you say being thrown into a fiery furnace and surviving sounds pretty supernatural to me. But again, as we mentioned at the time, there were traditions that there were certain ways to survive, even being placed, you know, in proximity to fire, and you know, it could be explained away, you know, using the science that they understood at the time as being something that would be natural as opposed to supernatural.
About that. We have no,
what's that?
We have no knowledge that God ever instructed him that he should get thrown into the fire.
Right, no, that's true as well. Yes.
Is the Rambam saying that Yaakov Avinu didn't know or didn't understand that his kids had to kill them because in the future these people would turn on him like a God set? I mean, was he completely oblivious for the fact that he broke their word in order to protect their lives? That was wrong.
I guess he figured that, again, let's go back to what the Ramban had said earlier. The Ramban said the original plan, as Yaakov Avinu understood it, was take Dina and go. Right? So that's what you should have done. You know, the fact that you gave the impression that you were going to enter into a peace pact with them, and then you slaughtered them, it's just, you know, to break your word like that, it's just not right.
Even though you had a right to, you shouldn't have done anything.
You had a right to kill them, but you didn't have to kill them. That's the way the Ramban seems to understand. And as such, you should have just, you know, sufficed with taking Dina and, you know, and letting things be at that point.
You know, we see from the parsha beforehand that Yaakov is really such an apologist for everything that's happened to him. He's full of remorse that he stole the Bechorah from Mr. Rashid, and also the way he acts, you know, he bows down, he did this and that, you know, and to Esav, I mean, he's really, really, he's an apologist. He's not going to act out against these people of Shechem. If the brothers hadn't come along, he probably would have just gone on.
I don't know. Again, you know, the way the Ramban presents it, at least, again, it's hard to know what Yaakov would have done, but the way the Ramban presents it is Yaakov certainly wanted to get Dina out of there, But the notion of taking revenge was something that he wasn't, you know, Davka looking to do. Okay, we'll pick up next week. Blessings, Hashem. Wish everyone a good Shabbos. Rechamana ben Akasha Omer. Rasa Kodesh Baruch Hu Lizakus Tis Tisra.